Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Luke chapter 11 again, but before I read our passage, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would encourage our hearts with it, that you might enable us to behold wondrous things in your law, that we might see Christ with our own eyes by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 11, picking up at verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Well, this is a passage which is maybe familiar to many of us. It's one of those passages which often gets quoted and referenced a lot. In fact, it often gets misquoted a lot. You'll often hear people say things like, "Don't hide your light under a bushel," and you'll think of that children's song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," and it could be a reference to Matthew 5, or it could be a reference to this section here. And we talk about the fact that we need to let our light shine before men, we need to not hide our light under a basket, and things like this. However, when you actually stop and read this passage, you quickly discover that you're confronted with something quite different, and it's actually very odd. Now, I don't think Jesus, having spoken about the sign of Jonah, all of a sudden thought to himself, "I better give an instruction on lamps." I don't think he all of a sudden needed to give an instruction on the proper use of eyes and how to keep our eyes in healthy condition. No, it is intimately connected to what went before it. Let's have a look at it. Let me just highlight to you the oddness and then see if we can figure out what it's all about. So Jesus says, and this is pretty obvious, no one lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, let's contemporize it. No one connects a light bulb to under the carpet. Or, no one puts a light bulb in place and then puts a black cover over it so that it doesn't eliminate any light. That would be pointless, right? It wouldn't achieve anything whatsoever. No, you connect a light bulb, you have it fixed to the roof. You might have a lamp shade which ejects the light downwards, but you have the light bulb sitting there so that it's easy to see everything around you. That's pretty straightforward, right? Then Jesus says, your eye is the lamp of your body. Now, just stop. Your eye is the lamp of your body. So your eye is like the light bulb in a room that gives illumination to everything in the room. What does that actually mean? Then he says, when your eye is healthy, or the light bulb is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. So if your eye is like the light, let's reverse the analogy. When your light is healthy, your whole room is full of light. But when your light bulb's dead or useless, well, the room is filled with darkness, right? So hopefully we're beginning to connect some dots here. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. So are we now talking about our eye, which is the light, or are we talking about the light that comes in from our eyes inside of us? Then he says, if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. And then he comes back to the original metaphor. This is a very odd passage. It like sort of crosses over itself and loops back around itself. And you sort of think to yourself, I think I get what's going on. And then all of a sudden, I am lost again. I'd encourage you afterwards just to look and meditate upon this passage and see if you can get your head around it. You know, it's quite an interesting passage, but I'm not going to leave you with that and just tell you to go away and read the Bible. No, to understand this, I think we actually need to look to the section directly before it. Now, we remember that the people were asking for a what? A sign. Show us a sign, they had said to him in verse 16. They were seeking a sign from heaven. They were seeking something they could what? See. Then Jesus says to them, I will give you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. And what was that sign? Someone greater than Jonah is here. Someone greater than Solomon is here, both in preaching and prophesying, declaring the word of truth. And we talked about the fact that it isn't so much about the sign, it's about the word of Christ. It's about the word of God that Christ himself was declaring, that was being heard. We thought about the fact that blessed is the man who hears the word of God and keeps it, as Jesus says. And now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, he starts to talk about lamps and eyes and their connection together and having lights in us. What's going on? Well, Jesus' point is, from the previous section, you don't need a sign because you have the word of God in front of you that is coming forth from my mouth. Then he says, make sure your eyes or lights are in good condition so that you have light inside of you. And if you have light from your eyes inside of you, then the whole of you will be light. But if your eyes are bad, the gateway, the lamp into you is dark, then everything inside of you is dark. What might he be thinking of? Well, he's not talking about how we see and receive signs. He's talking about how we see and receive Jesus Christ. So he's just finished saying to them, I am the one speaking the word of Christ. Sorry, I am the one who is speaking the word of God. I am the one bearing testimony to the truth of God. And because you refuse to receive what I'm saying, these other generations will rise up and judge you. Now, having said that, he then turns to this life analogy, this light analogy, this eye analogy. What's he calling them to do? He's calling them to look with spiritual eyes and see him for who he truly is. And having seen him, receive what he's saying, and therefore all of them will be light. You see, he's calling them to have their eyes enlightened by faith, to lay hold of him, to receive him wholeheartedly without the need of signs from heaven, but through faith in the word of Christ. You see, the only way someone can receive the word of Christ is if their eyes are opened and illuminated by the Holy Spirit that they might see and believe Christ. And when they do, when their eyes are opened, when the light bulb goes on, then they see him and they hear him and the light comes all the way in and embodies the entirety of them. And then they're like a lamp giving forth its light. You see, this passage isn't so much about you and I illuminating light into the world, though that's important, but rather it's about you and I seeing with the eyes of faith Christ, who he really is, and putting our faith and trust in him, not demanding signs, not accusing him of Beelzebul or anything else, but simply believing. And for that to take place, we need the Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see, and so do our loved ones, and so do those who visit our churches, and so do our neighbours, and true of our workmates. And so let us pray that God would give people eyes to see, and that we would see and believe. It's an invitation to have pure eyes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is a difficult passage, and we pray that you would give us eyes to see and believe your word, to see Christ by faith and believe in him. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.